What a beautiful, beautiful hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. As we look each day and realize and recognize that there is only one way that we can really have the joy and the excitement and the blessings is to give out the Word of God. Be proclaimers of the truth. Tell folks about salvation. And please that you don't tarry, and the time is so short before we are going to do what that last verse says. We're going to say farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer, because we're going to be face to face with Him. We're not going to have that level of that need of communication, because we're going to be right there with Him. If you know the Lord Jesus. So please, as we all have family members that do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that joy is not going to be theirs. As we've spoken many times, how preachers, when someone dies, that's wonderful, they're in a better place. Not unless they know Jesus. If they don't know Jesus, if they're not born again, and it's going to be the saddest day that they ever have witnessed was the day that they'll wake up in the place of torment, and they're going to be there forever. Is it necessary to tell people about Jesus? It's everything. It's life. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 42. And they continued steadfastly. Let's just back up to verse 41 there, because I love that word gladly. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayer. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, in the breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Gladly. Gladly. How does it feel when you share the gospel with someone and they say, yes, I want to trust in Jesus? Oh, what a glorious day. What a wonderful day. There should be no words in this whole world that would excite us more when one of our children or our grandchildren or our parents or an uncle or an aunt or a friend that would say to us after we have maybe witnessed to them many, many times, and you almost decide that you're not even going to say, you know, you need to trust in Jesus. You almost decide you're not even going to say those words because they've rejected you every time before. But this time you decide one more time, you're going to say, oh, please, please, I beg you, I pray for you every day. Will you come to the Lord Jesus? And that day, they say yes. They say yes. What's that do to your faith? What's that do to your heart? But it takes that next time. It takes that time after time with all the love you've got as you share that precious gospel that Jesus died on the cross. And Peter preached this wonderful message, and we're not told all that was proclaimed, because with many other words, verse 40 says, but they gladly received the word. They gladly received the word. And then down in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. You want somebody to feel the full power and the joy and the peace and the contentment, the freedom. You want somebody to feel all that that comes with salvation. This is how it will come when you stay steadfastly in the Word of God. Steadfastly. Every day. Don't miss the time of coming in to fellowship. I have so loved the study of Psalms on Wednesday night. I love reading those. I love visiting and fellowshipping over those. And today and the last few days here, I've spent, I don't know how many chapters of Proverbs that I've read. Boy, I can't wait till we get to Proverbs so we can study those, because if you know your Bible, you know it's Psalms and Proverbs. So that's next on Wednesday night. And so, boy, that's exciting. And so I went back to Psalms. I went back to Psalms just to see, you know, how soon are we going to get to Proverbs? It's sad. It'll be a while, but probably after the end of the year. And so I thought, you know, we're past that 119th Psalm, and so surely we're about, no, we're not. And so if you want strength and you want leadership, if you want to get your priorities straight, read from Psalms as a Christian, as a believer. Enjoy Psalms. Enjoy Proverbs. And then for the one that gets your priorities straight, go to Ecclesiastes. You go to Ecclesiastes. And I have read several chapters in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and in the love Psalms this past week. And when you do that, well, you realize that, you know what? The Lord knew what He was talking about when He said everything we need is in His Word. Everything we need. You want to be lifted up? Oh, you just go to the Psalms or over to the Proverbs to get direction and strength. And then if you decide that things are kind of becoming kind of important to you a little bit, then go over and check out what Solomon has to say in Ecclesiastes. And he'll put you right back where we need to be to walk each day. I don't remember the chapter in Ecclesiastes that I read that it goes through all the list of everything, and it truly tells you that everything in the world and every desire that Solomon had, he possessed. If he wanted gold, he had it. If he wanted a big house, he had it. Whatever he wanted, he had. I'll have to find that for you, because the statement at the end, he didn't say, I sure am happy. He wasn't. And it won't make you happy. The only thing that's going to bring joy into your heart is the Lord. And so please be giving out the gospel, awaiting, and be patient that they will gladly receive the word that you have told them concerning Jesus died and He rose again. He shed His blood for you. Please, will you trust in that for your salvation? Because you're a lost sinner. You're dying in your sin. You're dead in your sin. You need to have life, and I've got life for you. And tell them and compel them to come. And then continue steadfastly. But whether they come or not, we need to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, it says here, but we can say the Word of God, because that's what it is. And in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's all in that one verse. It's studying the Word of God on your own and together. And that's where the great fellowship comes, is that we were in the Sunday school class there, and I looked up at the time, and it was quarter after, and I thought, boy, that's great. We got some time yet. I looked up again. It was 25 till 11. I don't know what happened. I don't know where the time went. And the joy of studying the Word of God and looking at the doctrines and the fellowship and the breaking of bread, many times they would come together and eat. And it was a joy at the mother and daughter banquet to be the servers and to serve and to honor the mother and daughters with that occasion. And then it's a joy as we get together on Wednesday night. If you don't come on Wednesday night and come to have prayer together with us and then studying that precious book of Psalms and then going downstairs and as the Scripture tells us here, breaking of bread, and that's what we do. I don't believe that's talking about the Lord's Supper. I think that's just about sitting around the table visiting. And how many times... if you want to know if there is great how great the fellowship is around the table, all you have to look if you ever have anyone into your home, and you've invited, I don't care who they are, I don't care if it's family, if it's friends, I don't care who they are, where are they? They're always in the kitchen. They're always around when you're preparing the food, and we put in a 10-foot long and 4-foot long bar to hold the food, and we still don't have enough room because that's where everybody's standing. We can't get, we just will not build a living room because there was no reason for it. Everybody's around the table because there's fellowship when there's food included, and so we enjoy that. But it comes after the feeding of the Word. The feeding of the Word. We enjoy the feeding of the Word and the breaking of the bread and in prayers. And again, we need to always be in prayer. And then look at verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. This fear is a reverence, an awe, a wonder. What a mighty work the Holy Spirit has carried out. And they're in awe. The fear is the word that's used here. Today, we see in adults and children alike a great lack of respect for anything or anyone. And it is because of the level of the ungodliness that is here today. They have no fear of God, and if a person is raised out of a home that does not fear God, then those children are not going to honor you. And so if you want to have children, and many times it's because we got saved halfway through our children, and so for us to be able to back up and to take care of something we didn't do correct, we can't do that. But what we can do is that we can pray for them today, we can witness to them today, we can tell them about our Lord and Savior, and we can be a Joseph. We can be a Joseph. We can be one that they can't figure out what's different about us. We have a peace and a joy, and we have a strength, and we seem to have wisdom that the world doesn't have. And it's they can't figure it out. But when the opportunity comes to share the gospel with them, then is when God's power and that Spirit of God can go forth and convict that heart. And that fear, that reverence is there, and we need to capture that back. And the only way it's going to be received is when this nation will repent and fall upon their knees and call upon God for salvation. And it's going to be needs to be done by a nation. But we know that even the nation of Israel is there's only saved one at a time because God set them aside. And the only thing special about the United States of America is that it at one time was a God-fearing nation, and it is no longer. And so what makes this country so great? Not a single thing, with the absence of God. And so we need to be in prayer each time, again, for families, for mothers, for fathers, for children, and for this country. This power that went forward, the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, if you'll notice that, it says specifically the apostles. You know, a lot of people today try to say they have the hand of healing, and they can touch you and you're healed, or they can speak in tongues or something like that. This was gifts that was given to the apostles for the establishment of the church, and it was early in the church age. The Word of God was not complete yet, and when it was complete, then those gifts and those talents went away. And it was for the purpose of showing the power of God. They're showing their authority. And so God's power had the ability, and still has the ability today, to restrain evil, to subdue it, to silence the opposition. And so when we go and we have been continuing steadfastly in the Word of God, and then we go out into the world, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. We need to take the Word of God, and please don't be fearful that someone's going to say something to you, and then we take it personal. Be so sad that they object to the gospel because they're rejecting our God, and that's the saddest thing that they can do. They're saying no. Many signs and wonders that are given. Verse 44 and 45 here, all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, to every man had need. In this day, when folks were saved, when they came to the Lord Jesus, when all that believed were together, had all things common, they had to. Some folks that had possessions were able to sell it, because many of the new Christians that had just been born again, that was just saved, they were thrown out of their homes. They weren't allowed to work. They were totally rejected because they had rejected the Judaism. They had rejected all the traditions and everything that was in place. And so they had nothing. And the love that was there, they would take and sell what they had, and they would bring it and make it all things common. And they said, so if you had a need, then here, I'll give you what I have so that you can eat, so that you can feed your family, so that you can take care of things. That's what that verse 44 and 45 is all about. And that all came about because of the love of God that came into their hearts the day that they trusted in Jesus. All of a sudden, possessions were of no value to them. They would rather help a brother than have a possession. That had no bearing, because I love Jesus. They continued daily in verse 46, and with one accord in the temple. Now that may seem strange, but we know every time that Paul came to town, he would go into the temple, go into the synagogue to pray, to hear the reading of the word. And we have 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock were two time periods in the Jewish day that the reading of the word and prayers were lifted up. And so they were so common to go to the place of worship and lift up prayers and hear the reading of the word, that they continued to do this. But it wasn't long, because of the friction between the Christians and the leaders of the synagogues, that it wasn't long that they weren't welcome there anymore. And they realized that even though the word was read, there was no power and strength there. And so they began to gather in their homes and things like that. So it wasn't long that they kind of got away from that tradition of just doing it every day. They began to grow themselves. And so they continued daily with one accord in the temple. We don't want to miss that word, one accord. Because as we look to the Word of God, that's what gives us such a wonderful fellowship here, is because we are in one accord with the Word of God. We're in agreement. We come together to hear the Word of God proclaimed, and nothing less and nothing more than the Word of God. And so when the Word of God is proclaimed, and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit that's in your heart will guide you through the Word as He guides me through the Word. And we are one. We are with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So one accord and singleness of heart. They had one thing in mind, and that is that they all loved the Lord Jesus. And that love then stretched out to help their brothers or their sisters or their families in their daily needs. And in hearing the Word of God, continuing daily they did this. And so again, they went from house to house to eat their meat. That doesn't mean that they were all, the whole group just went from one house to the next house to the next house. But they were meeting in houses as they come together. And that was the original, that was the first church, as they would meet in their homes and in their houses. And so, and then in verse 47, praising God, having favor with all the people. That all the people is the kind of the masses. They were heard. The Word of God was heard, and the masses of people. Now, there are many individuals that rejected it. Many individuals did not want to hear the Word of God. But the folks as a whole wanted to hear it. It's kind of the way this country was in the past, before we all of a sudden became so politically correct. Everyone enjoyed to hear the Word of God, saved and lost alike. They heard it. And maybe they did not accept the Lord Jesus, but they did not reject the Word of God. They did not reject the name of God. We didn't ignore and reject speaking the name of our God in schools and public places. And so today, why we have sure altered that and have changed that. But we are to be in singleness of heart ourselves, as together praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And you see, when we proclaim the Word, and when we are the preachers of the gospel, folks hear the Word of God. And yes, they'll reject it. And I think the rejection becomes greater the closer we come to the return of the Lord Jesus. But that still doesn't take away our responsibility of telling people how to be saved and how to be born again. And we need to proclaim that Word each and every day. Such as should be saved, such as were in the way of salvation. In other words, they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so we need each day to come and acknowledge our God, praise Him, enjoy His Word. Again, if you're struggling, just go to Psalms and read a couple of verses or a couple of chapters. Go over to Proverbs and get a little bit of instruction. And then if you're kind of fighting and all of a sudden the neighbor just got something brand new and something you always wanted, and go to Ecclesiastes. Just read that a little bit, and you'll find out that probably that neighbor is not saved. And they don't have life at all. We have life. So please, walk each day with the Lord. What a message here that we have received from Peter, and the conclusion here in verse 42 through 47 of what the result was and what they did. And what made this first church so strong and grow so fast was they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's what made the difference. They continued steadfastly. How often? Daily. Daily. So please, don't miss an opportunity to read your precious Word. And find time take time to be in prayer. Pray for your family. Pray for our family. Pray for all the families of the church. All of us have lost folks that need to be saved. And the first direction, the first power we have is prayer. Prayer. And even if we don't get the opportunity to reach one of our children or grandchildren or our parents or something, that prayer may send someone else. And they'll respond and listen to them. They need salvation. Please recognize that that judgment, that place of torment, and that eternal fires of hell is eternal. We talk about eternal life. Someone dies without Jesus. It's eternal life or eternal hell. But either way, it's forever. We need to reach all that we know, please. Don't let them slip off into eternity without knowing Jesus as their Savior. Let's close with prayer. Father, as we enjoy each day, and we have special days that the world has come up with, but those days, we should acknowledge each other and acknowledge the strength, acknowledge the labor, the tribulation that each are going through each and every day. Pray for each other, lift each other up, give each other the strength that they need. And Father, it can only come from you and because of your Son, the Lord Jesus, as he died on the cross and gave us life and gave us victory. And so please that we look to you and we depend upon you. Our faith it grows every day steadfastly. Steadfastly. We need to do it each and every day. So please, Lord, just help us to grow. Give us a great day. We thank and praise you for the beautiful rain that you've sent us. Crops are looking so wonderful. And Father, it's all, you know, we can plant the seed, but you have to give the increase. We go out and plant the seed of the gospel, but we have to wait upon you, your Spirit, to convict their hearts and bring them. So please, Lord, please today, let's sow the seed. Give us the increase, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.